Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the fourth episode of Peach State Prospects, a podcast dedicated to the Atlanta Braves minor league system. It is an absolutely stunning evening over here in Georgia, and I get to spend it with two of my friends, Garrett and Joe. Joe, how's the weather over there in California, and how are you doing this evening?
I'm doing great this afternoon out here. It's not quite evening yet. Weather is fantastic. I cannot complain. I spent most of my day working, unfortunately, but I was out on the coast and couldn't have had a better day. So what about you, Garrett?
I'm doing good. I appreciate that. It's been a good wait for this week of the recording. We've been sitting here talking for a lot longer about our topic for the day. And Gaurav, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic. It was a fun discussion leading up to the start of this recording, and you'll really see kind of how we all perceive, you know, our main agenda point for today, and that's our player spotlight series. We'll continue on with Spencer Schwellenbach, who recently got promoted to the Mississippi Braves. But to get us started, as always, we want to go over the Peach State Prospects Players of the Week. So starting with the Gwinnett Stripers, who went 3-3 last week. It's two-time World Series champion Yuli Gurriel, who had an 859 OPS, scored a pair of runs, and drove in a pair of runs. Down in Mississippi, it was Cody Milligan, who once again won Player of the Week. He had a 747 OPS, including a home run and scoring six runs. Over in Rome, it's EJ Esposito, who continued to be a tear on the base pads and the field itself. He had a 1.244 OPS, a pair of homers, two doubles, five RBI, and two stolen bases. And finally, over in Augusta, it was a bit of a light hitting week, and the winner of the Player of the Week went to Luis Sanchez, who had a 706 OPS. He did score four runs, drove in three, and picked up four stolen bases. On the pitching side of things, over in Gwinnett, we start with Daisbell Hernandez, who appeared in a pair of games, pitching three innings with one walk and six strikeouts. He had an OPS against of 100, thanks to that one walk. Just a fantastic week for Daisbell. Over in Mississippi, it's Ian Mejia once again, who had a great outing, 5.2 innings pitched, three hits, zero runs, two walks, and nine strikeouts. I was looking over his numbers earlier today, and I think he's got three of the organization's best outings with game scores of nearly 68, above. Just an absolutely great year for Ian Mejia. Over in Rome, it's the relief pitcher Corey Wall. Corey Wall was drafted by the Braves in the eighth round of the 2023 MLB draft out of William and Mary. And so Corey had an appearance. He pitched 2.2 innings, struck out six, had a great OPS against of 333. And then finally, wrapping us up is over in Augusta, Mitch Ferris had a great outing of himself, five innings, two hits, zero runs, zero walks, and six strikeouts. Garrett, I'm going to go to you first. Any final thoughts on those players or any players that you want to talk about briefly in the organization?
Yep. It's kind of an interesting week for Ferris, you know, an upper 80s guy who's done really well at the lower levels. Would be interesting to see him pushed up. But the guy I've really been watching, I think we've all talked about him a bit, you know, privately, is Jeremy Reyes down in the FCL. We're not doing rookie ball players of the week, but you know, this is an 18-year-old who, you know, was sitting mid-90s in his last start. Reports have him up to 99. And, I mean, he has 11 strikeouts in 9 1/3 innings this year, ERA below one. I think he's a guy that we're all looking forward to when he does eventually go up to Augusta. Hopefully this year, they're pretty patient with these guys, so he may spend the whole year in Florida. But I would love to see him up in Augusta this year to really get a chance to watch him play.
There are a couple of pitchers in the FCL rotation that look to be dangerous and very interesting numbers. Reyes got a big arm. Joe, over to you. Any closing thoughts on it yourself?
Yeah, not to be a broken record, I feel like we've talked about this player a lot, but it's someone in a system where I think we are all kind of hoping we get some exciting position players. But EJ Exposito just continues to do nothing but surprise me. I feel like he's a fun player to watch. He's clearly having one of the best, the best stretches of his entire career. And he's continued to rake even today. He's can just continues to rake, and he actually has a chance to be the first 10 home run, 10 stolen base player in the minors this year. He's really kind of making us look like we overlooked him on our top 30, but I'll be more than happy to eat crow on that and just say we made a mistake if he keeps us up, because he's a really exciting player. He's fun to watch.
That strikeout rate is continuing to look good this year as well. There was a problem earlier, especially a problem last year. And if he can continue to cut down those strikeouts and get on base and hit for power, like that's always good. And if you remember our top 30, we have a lot of super young players, position players, super young position players that are on that list. And it would be nice to add, a little more dynamic, polished hitter. And it looks like EJ, hopefully might be making that push himself.
I was just gonna say it to me. It just he looks like someone where something seems to have clicked with him. And I'm just hoping that he continues to progress, because again, he's an exciting player to watch.
For sure. Thanks for that, Joe. And now on to the meat and potatoes of this episode, and that's going to be our prospect spotlight on Spencer Schwellenbach. Joe, what do you have for us on his background?
Thanks, Rob. So as we said, we're gonna focus today on Spencer Schwellenbach. He was a second round pick for the Braves in the 2021 draft out of Nebraska. He did not pitch much in college. He actually didn't pitch until 2021. Played primarily shortstop. In 2021, he was also Nebraska's closer. He did have an elbow issue in his prep days, so they kind of really were very careful with him with his elbow at Nebraska. And then he took over as a closer. He threw only 31 and two-thirds innings with Nebraska in 2021, showed a fastball that touched 99, a slider, and a changeup. Even going into the draft, there were some that viewed him as a potential first rounder as a position player, either playing shortstop or third base long term. But the Braves really liked his athleticism and upside on the mound and chose to draft him as a pitcher in the second round. He did not debut on the mound for the Braves until 2023, because right after the draft, they decided he needed to get Tommy John surgery. Believe they just went that route instead of getting him on the mound and having his progress interrupted after. So did not debut until last year. Yeah, so with more on his scouting report, let's go over to Gaurav.
Yeah, so let's go to his scouting reports. Spencer's actually pretty balanced. Righties have an OPS of 557 against him, while lefties a 551 OPS. The man turns into a dog when there's runners in scoring position or runners on in general, as hitters have a 431 OPS against him. As for how he does it, he's got quite a few different pitches. He throws his four-seamer 38% of the time. It's anywhere from 95 to 97 miles per hour. It's got a okay movement. It doesn't have a ton, but it still misses a lot of bats. It's got about 2 feet of vertical movement and then about half a foot of horizontal break. His second most used pitch this year has been his curveball. He's thrown that 28% of the time. He sits about 81 to 84, and he's got about, again, not a ton of movement, still a good amount of whiffs, but not a ton of movement. About 4.5 feet of vertical movement and about four and a half inches, not 4.5 feet, 4.5 inches of vertical break and about 9 inches of horizontal break. Following that is his slider, which coming into the draft and again, converted, more of a converted two-way player to the pitching side of things, is his slider, which was probably his second best pitch coming out of college. He's thrown about 17% of the time. That sits at about 85 to 88 miles an hour, and a lot like his curveball, it's got, it's a pretty tight break, not a ton of movement, about 2.3 inches of vertical, about 2 inches of vertical break and about 5 inches of horizontal break. From there, he's thrown this year, and I can't wait to talk more to Garrett about this. He's started to showcase a split change that sits about 83 to 85 miles an hour. That too, like his other three pitches, not a ton of movement, about 2 inches of vertical and 2 inches of horizontal break, but it still is an effective pitch. He's thrown a cutter or maybe what can be described as a harder slider, potentially, about 6% of the time. That pitch sits around 91 to 93, so it does make sense to be more of a cutter. But with that pitch, again, 9 inches of vertical movement and about 2 inches of horizontal break. And then finally, he throws a what I think, and I think Garrett, we talked about this earlier, pretty good changeup. He's only thrown that a handful of times this year. It sits 82 to 84. It's got 2 inches of vertical break, but then a more traditional near 14 inches of horizontal break. There isn't a ton of movement on his pitches, but he still has been very effective. Some of it has to do with his absolute fantastic extension. And when we say extension, last week we talked about induced vertical break and how pitcher's spin can really manipulate the way a pitch is going to be thrown or perceived. For Spencer, it's that extension. And when we say that, what we mean is typically it's 60.6 inches of distance between a mound and where the hitter is. The ball, when it's released, is not typically, it varies between pitcher and pitcher. But for Spencer, he gets such great extension that his perceived the distance the ball has to travel is less, so the velocity plays up more. So when he's sitting 95 with his fastball, you could, for a hitter, with the amount of extension he gets, it's a perceived velocity of closer to 97 to 99. So the ball plays better than what the gun says on the radar. With all that said, how does he get it done? What are his mechanics? What are some trends that we have seen so far this year? And for that, we go to Garrett. Garrett.
Mechanically for Schwellenbach, there's not a lot to break down because he's a guy that didn't have a lot of innings, didn't get into a lot of bad habits as an amateur. And so he's pretty much pitch perfect on what you would want to see from a guy. He gets downhill, he has easy mechanics, he's not making jerky movements, his arm path is tight and quick through his release. Everything about his mechanics on the base level is great, and that's why you see him throw a lot of strikes. He has a high strike rate on most of his pitches. He's able to really pound the strike zone because he's able to, with his athleticism and with his mechanics, repeat his delivery well. The main concern I've had for him actually is one of his specific pitches, and that's his splitter, and he tends to slow down his leg kick. All of his mechanics slow down, his leg kick, his arm, everything slows down. And that's why if you watch him play, his splitter is a good pitch on base metrics in terms of the velocity difference, the way he's able to kill spin, the movement. It's a good pitch. It doesn't play very well. And the main reason for that is it's easy to read when he slows down his mechanics. And that's one of those things that for a guy that's not experienced pitching, he hasn't had 5, 6, 7 years to get the muscle memory of, I just let it rip and let the change up and let the grip do the work itself. It's a mental block of saying, I need to throw a pitch like I throw every other pitch and it's going to work versus trying to guide the pitch and slow the pitch down with your mechanics. That's really the change that I want to see from him mechanically. Outside of that, there's really not a lot to worry about. And that's why, I think right now he's control over command, but I think that we'll see that come with his athleticism, with his delivery, where he'll be able to hit spots more consistently. And you may see that fastball play up. I am wondering, we talk about pitch trends, if that slider usage, we've seen it, we talked about it in the last couple of weeks with Hurston Waldrop and AJ Smith-Shawver. The Braves are limiting some of their better pitches to work on fastball, work on slider. And I would say watching the games and seeing what we've seen out of him, his slider is his best pitch. It's not particularly close. And pitches with that sort of movement, that sort of velocity, that sort of spin, 10 to by major league pitchers get thrown 40 to 50% of the time. We've seen half of that usage. So we don't have confirmation on this. With Waldrop and AJ Smith-Shawver, we did. We don't have confirmation that they're specifically limiting his slider usage, but my feeling is they probably are. And they're probably using that same sort of strategy to really focus on his four seamer and his curveball. And I think you'll see him start to get more swings and misses. That was really the concern with him at the lower levels, was he wasn't getting a lot of swings and misses. And the hope is that as he advances and throws that slider more, that's going to be his out pitch. And you can kind of let his fastball, I think the fastball movement plays with its velocity, it plays well off of it. I don't necessarily think that his splitter is ideal from a movement perspective, but it acts as his fourth pitch, right? It's more of a change of pace than a true go get him out pitch. His out pitch is, his curveball is more of an out pitch than his split changes. So that's fine that it's not perfectly ideal. Now, if he can kind of tweak some things, I would say get a little more arm side movement, maybe like his regular changeup is, like his running changeup has a lot of horizontal movement, which tends to, with his vertical fastball shape and with his slider being a more horizontal slider, that tends to play better with those pitches and get more swings and misses. So having a little bit more arm side run would maybe take that pitch from an average pitch that's more of a change of pace to a pitch that can get out. But I don't think when it's his fourth offering that it's a bad pitch. For a fourth offering, it's where I would like it to be in comparison to his other pitches, and he can really focus on the other three as his way to get out.
I wonder what would make them kind of focus more on that split change when he has a changeup that, does have really good movement on it. Any kind of initial thoughts of something I just came up with, but any kind of initial thoughts from either of you on that?
I would say two reasons. We actually talked a little about this. A splitter is easier to throw and easier to learn than a changeup. And especially when you talk about a guy that struggled mentally with slowing his arm down, it's easier to trust a splitter because you just basically widen your grip and throw it, right? Like that's all there is to it. So I think it's an easier pitch for him to learn. And in addition, a more vertical changeup, while it doesn't necessarily get a lot of swings and misses and compared to a horizontal changeup, it does get a lot of ground balls. And if, we talk about his movement not being great, that kind of makes his pitch hittable in the zone. And so having a pitch that he can go to get soft contact isn't necessarily bad for him. The thing is I think both are good pitches. Joe, do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, the thing is, I was gonna say one of those two things you just said, and you took both of them. So, no, I completely agree. I feel like the splitter, while being a much easier pitch to learn, also I think it's very valuable for a pitcher to have a pitch they can go to if they have a long inning or whatever it may be, and they just need to kind of induce some weak contact to get early outs conserved. It's always something that I think is valuable if they can learn it. And so it seems that there's an emphasis on in the this system on throwing that split or split change. So I'm curious to see if there's more of the pitching prospects that will develop it, but it seems like there's a definite emphasis on that.
When it comes to pitch mix, we had 38% four seam, 28% curveball, 17% slider, 9% split change, 6% that cutter harder slider, and then 2% the changeup. The way he approaches hitters, the approach is vastly different. Against left-handers, he throws his four seam 32% of the time. He throws his curveball 17% of the time and his slider 12% of the time. So he throws those, his two, potentially best pitches at a much lower rate, but kind of equal. But then he busts out that splitter 19%, the cutter 14%, and then the changeup about 5%. Now against righties, it's a lot more fastball dominant. He throws his four seam 42% of the time, his curveball 37% of the time, his slider 20% of the time, 20% of the time, and then he doesn't really throw his splitter and cutter. So he's got quite a few pitches. The way he uses them is very different as well, depending on the handedness of the batter. Any, kind of any closing thoughts from the two of you overall on what Spencer has to offer on the mound?
I think it's just a very intriguing arsenal, especially with he just doesn't have a lot of time on the mound, and I think he's still developing, which is very intriguing because he hasn't been bad at any point, right? I mean, he's just been really good. So I think with his arsenal, as you said, he has something he can feature to righties and lefties, which is something where he has a definite strategy of what works well to each handed batter. I think everything about his makeup, his athleticism, it's just a very intriguing profile, and I think it's something that you can definitely see progressing and giving him a very strong future on the mound.
Yeah, and I think kind of to that point, Schwellenbach doesn't do anything bad. Like, all of his pitches are good, his command is good, his mechanics are good, and that being able to really do everything and not have a true weakness, I think, helps him a lot in terms of, the confidence in him as a pitcher. And we've seen him at the lower levels where he's dominated, every year that he's played.
He's just got really good command as well. Now, you talked about command versus control earlier, but he's able to locate his pitches. He's able to throw them for strikes. That's the best way to say it. And especially at those lower levels, if you're able to just get it in the zone, you'll get some good strikeout numbers. And he's been around 10 per nine for most of his career. So we've talked about, again, his background, his mechanics, his scouting report. That leads us to our final two closing questions. Garrett, I'm going to go to you first. What do you need to see from Spencer to really declare him ready for the big leagues?
Like I said earlier, I really think, the mechanics on the changeup are going to be important for him against lefties, but I do think that it's about refining that bit of command for him. I don't think, even with the velocity, even with the extension, because the shape of his fastball is mediocre, it is somewhat hittable in the zone. And so being able to avoid the heart of the zone and live more on the edges is going to help him. And that's an adjustment process. And he's doing it better this year, and especially his secondaries. His last game against Mississippi, I mean, he was putting his slider and curveball where he wanted it. And that's important, especially as that slider usage ticks up. So I just think refining that last little bit of command on his fastball so that he's not giving up as many hard hit balls in the zone and can get into deeper counts, that's his next step. But overall, I really just think it's kind of that last little bit of refinement and consistency on all of his pitches and going through and getting, more consistent spin where we'll see him start to start. His slider looks a little bit different. His curveball looks a little bit different. Being able to really dial that in and get his pitch mix dialed in is going to be the next step for him. But I would say that he's probably, given that last year he was coming off of Tommy John surgery and he had really not pitched well all that much before then, he's in a really good spot in his development timeline, which will be important.
I gotta be honest with you. I was blown away with how well Spencer performed last year. I pretty much chalked it up to being a lost year, just show that he can stay healthy and stay on the mound type of deal, and then slowly work everything else, slowly start showing that, oh yeah, I am drafted as a pitcher for a reason. So I'm right there with you. He's done such an outstanding job so much earlier in his return from Tommy John than really expected. Joe, let's also I want to go to actually go to you first. Like, what, adding on from Garrett, do you need to see anything else yourself to really say I'm ready for Spencer to be an Atlanta Brave?
Yeah, so I think we're all pretty much in agreement on a lot of the points that Garrett's made, and we talked about this at length a little bit before we started recording. But it's just refinement. I mean, it's one of those things. I think people confuse command and control a little bit. His control is not an issue. I mean, if you look at his numbers, it's kind of strange how similar his numbers last year are to this year. I mean, he's only walking 2.2 batters, or he walked 2.2 batters per nine last year, 2.4 this year. He's striking out more hitters this year than he did last year. His whip is right around one. It's all the numbers kind of in line, but as Garrett alluded to, his fastball isn't one where he can get away with it when he misses his spots like some pitchers can. So I think refining that command where he's hitting his spots, not just filling up the strike zone, as you get again. If you're once you're facing better hitters that are more mature, that is something you're not going to get away with as much. And I think, again, just refining and also continuing to just grow. He, again, hate to belabor this point, but he just hasn't been on the mound a lot. And so it's not surprising that he has some refining to do and some growth and learning how to be a professional pitcher. And I think it's just all that. It's just I think he has the base there to have a pretty high floor. just because of his athleticism, the stuff is the pitch mix itself. It's something there that he's going to have a high floor. I believe if he stays healthy, he's a major league pitcher. It's just how well can he put the finishing touches on his arsenal and fix some of the things like the arm speed, that kind of thing, which will tell you how high his ceiling is.
That was beautifully said, you two. I want to follow up that question with this next one. Garrett, what is your timeline to the majors for Spencer, and what role do you believe he plays?
It's possible that Schwellenbach gets to the majors this year. More than likely, it's going to be next year. It's almost certainly going to be next year. And the reason is he's Rule 5 eligible at the end of the year. So they have to add him to the 40-man roster. And once he's on the 40-man roster, they're going to bring him up when they need an arm. So next year, you're almost certainly going to see Schwellenbach. This year, depending on how things go, it is an arsenal that would work in the bullpen. I don't think that they're going to make that decision. And this goes to his role. The biggest concern with Schwellenbach is durability. Last year was his career high in innings pitch. He pitched 65. And you want to get that guy to 160, 170 to be a starting pitcher. And even last year, once he got into May, he had a shoulder issue and he missed a lot of time after that. And so the concern for him is he going to stay healthy long term? Can you count on him to give you 160, 170 innings in a year? And we don't have that answer yet. He's at 38 already this year. He's already 27 short of last year's total in innings. And we really need to see the path that they take. And there will probably be a point this year where they look at him and say, "We're dialing you back. We're limiting you. You've thrown too much." And whether it's how his arm responds or just some sort of limit they have set on him, they're going to dial him back. And at that point, they may make the decision similar to kind of what they did with Spencer Strider and saying, "Let's put you in the bullpen at AAA. If you're good, we'll bring you up in October. We got to add you to the 40-man roster anyways. Let's bring you up in October, see if you can help for the postseason. If you can't, which more than likely he can't at this stage, I just don't think he's quite ready yet, you say, 'Hey, next spring, come in. Let's see what you look like.'" So really, it's going to be about building up durability for him as to whether he's a starter or pitcher. I think that's the only question. He has the pitch mix to start. A couple of weeks ago, I probably would have said, "Yeah, he's maybe a back end 4-5 type." I've seen enough with his slider and curveball to say I could see that as a guy as a number three. I don't know that I've seen top of the rotation potential from him yet, just because I don't think that he has enough plus pitches to do that. But I definitely think that that's a guy that, with the depth of his arsenal, his ability to control that, you could see mid rotation starter if he stays healthy. That's the big deal for him, is can you stay healthy? Otherwise, that's bullpen role, obviously. If he gets hurt and he can't stay healthy, he's going to end up in the bullpen, or as a guy that throws 100 innings a year and you kind of just hope he's healthy at the end of the year. But I do think that he's going to be a starting pitcher at the major league level if he stays healthy, because right now he has all of the markers of a guy that's going to be a starting pitcher.
If he could just had that slight more movement, I could really definitely see him having an impact in October, like this year, because of his ability to command and throw for strikes. Unfortunately, against major league hitters, that jump from the minors to majors and the quality hitter you see, if you don't have as much movement, if you're throwing into the zone repeatedly, they will find it. What I like about his promotion is, and Garrett, I would love to hear your thoughts on this, going from high A to double A, that's a big jump in the quality of hitter you face off against. So being able to have that kind of line his first game in Mississippi says a lot about that increase in, I would say, well, I'll say for me, my overall perception of Spencer, him being able to come into double A where you're going to see a much higher quality of hitter. And being able to perform the way he did and get as many whiffs as he did, that's extremely promising. What would you say is the biggest jump, from league to league in terms of quality of opponent that you'll be facing? Is it that high A to double A? Is it double A to triple A? Or do we even go all the way back down and say that going from low A to high A is a giant jump itself?
So, I mean, AAA to the major leagues is the biggest jump. But
Well,
like,
yeah, absolutely.
okay, so we're excluding that. Then I would probably say high to double A. At least from the way the Braves do it, they tend to say, hey, if you're good at high A, go ahead and on up. Guys tend to stick at double A longer, and you're more likely to see like they'll call guys straight up from double A, and that's the quality of the league there is better. It's just we say this a lot, especially with the older guys. You look good at high A, let's see what you do at double A. And so I definitely think that that's the biggest jump, though I will say with the removal of the advanced rookie levels, that rookie ball to A ball jump is pretty big. Really, all of the jumps have gotten bigger because of the contraction of the minor leagues, but I still think that high A to double A jump is bigger. You know, triple A, you tend to face more experienced players, but the talent level doesn't increase. Whereas high to double A, the talent level is better. It's just better at double A. I don't think that that's the experience is really the difference between double A and triple A. And so it's dependent on the player. You know, a guy like Schwellenbach, I don't know that he'd really struggle in triple A because he locates well. Whereas a guy like Waldrop would get into trouble.
Your average opponent's just going to be able to read pitches better, build deeper counts, be able to really hone in on your weakness. And so that, yeah, I totally agree with that. Joe, back to you. What is your timeline to the majors for Spencer, and what role does he play?
Yeah, I think Garrett nailed it. I think, as I said, he has the makeup to have a pretty high floor of a mid-rotation starter, who has the stuff. If he can refine that stuff, he has, I think, mid-rotation starter that can flash better, but without improving some of those offerings, I don't see him as being top of the rotation. I think he's better than a back-end starter, but again, it's all about health. He, as Garrett said, the players who haven't thrown 100 plus innings, and you're going to ask him to go out there and be a starter this year for this long, we'll see how he progresses with his innings. If they have some sort of limitation on him, I know Alex Anthopoulos has talked about this many times that he doesn't have a hard, fast limits. He just goes by feel and how the player is. But you could probably see if they start backing him off to only starting once a week as we get into summertime to kind of just slow those innings down, because you don't want someone going from 65 innings one year to trying to push him to 160. That's just, especially when they've never pitched this much. So I think if it gets to one of those times where, like you mentioned, Spencer Strider, where August comes around and they go, hey, we're going to put you in the bullpen to keep you pitching, but kind of back off on the innings just to control that a little bit because we don't want to overdo it your first full year. He could, because he is Rule 5 eligible and has to be added to the 40-man anyways, he could be someone you call up in September, put him in the bullpen and give him a couple outings if needed, or if he flashes and his stuff plays up in the bullpen. But I think that the most likely scenario is some point next year that he makes his debut. And as long as he stays healthy, I see him as a starting pitcher. And like Garrett said, even if he's someone who doesn't seem to be able to hold up for the whole year and throw 160, 180 innings, he could be a very good multi-inning reliever. You know, somewhere where you've seen someone like Jackson Stevens type, where they come in and they can throw two, three innings or just flash one or two inning stretches and be really good in that role, or just swingman where he's in the bullpen but takes spot starts. There's many different roles with someone with his skill set and arsenal. So timeline and what is ultimate role for me, I think 2025 is the most likely scenario at some point in that bullpen, even if it's the first year he kind of just his spot starts, kind of how they've done in the past, but 2025 for me.
All right, I just have another question. Assuming he's at, probably 100 innings at the end of the season and coming in more of a relief role, who are the two of you personally taking, playoff Jesse or Spencer Schwellenbach, in that long relief role? Garrett, you
You're not doing
first.
this to me. You're not doing this to me,
Yes,
man.
I want to hear. I want to hear.
You have to go Jesse, because he has the experience. I'm not gonna throw, I mean, okay, if Schwellenbach comes up and he's like dominant, maybe, but there's no way I'm gonna go with Schwellenbach sight unseen over Chavez. I mean, Jesse's of course the pick there.
Joe, what about you?
Let me ask a couple questions. One, are you trying to get our podcast canceled by Braves fans? Because if we go against Jesse Chavez, burn our, they'll burn this whole thing to the ground. Two, does he make the improvements necessary to his fastball to get swings and misses at that level? And if he does, Jesse Chavez, because I don't want pitchforks and you know, an angry mob outside my front door. As we've said in the AJ Smith Smith-Shaver episode, if he's missing bats and is locating his fastball and can get swing and miss, I love Jesse Chavez. I met him in Oakland and he pet my dog and said he likes my dog, so he's always got a special spot in my heart. But I'll take the guy who can miss bats. I love Jesse Chavez. He just hit death if you're relying on inducing outs by pitching to contact in the playoffs.
I'm just saying, if you're looking at the current 26-man roster, Jackson Stevens is going before Jesse Chavez. So that's my answer. We're kicking Jackson Stevens off the roster for Schwellenbach, and Jesse can stay.
Yeah.
Is that a cop-out? I don't care.
No, you know what?
That's pretty realistic, though.
We're just going to – we're right down the middle on this one. Yeah. Best of both worlds. We can have both.
So you heard it here. Joe would consider Spencer over Jesse Chavez if Spencer makes adjustments with his fastball. The mere thought of it is enough for him to be banned from Braves Twitter, but we'll see if he ends up being canceled by the time you all hear this. That wraps us up for this week. I think I speak for Garrett and Joe when I say thank you so much for listening to us talk about Spencer this week, and we look forward to joining you all next week.